In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our Royals insider. Josh Vernier joins us on the show today as we take a closer look at the Royals as they begin a three-game series against the Cincinnati Reds. Vern, how you doing, man?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Vern, I'm doing great. What does it feel to, at one point you were the Royals insider for 610 Sports Radio. Now you're the Royals insider for 96.5 The Fan. That has to be a point of pride for you, Vern.
Yeah, it's life-changing. I want to thank, Bobby and Patrick Mahomes.
They did this.
I'm guessing those are the people that we thank. I'm not sure.
No, they did this. No, 100%. Spectre deserves no credit for it. Rob got a little promotion now, so he was looking at me, earlier today. He said, I told you. I'm like, well, who are you talking to? He was like, I'm your superior here. I'm like, I don't know what Rob started talking to me like this, Vern.
He has been walking around with a crown lately.
Yeah, I don't know what's gotten into. I don't know what's gotten into our guy, Rob Britton, man. But no, we're happy to have you here, man. Let's talk about this. So early in the week, I spent a lot of time playing your cut. You went on the morning show and said people are focused on the third wild card. I'm focused on the division. I guess very simple for me, Vern. If this team can't beat Minnesota and you can't pass second place, then it's not realistic yet to start to have those division conversations. You got to take care of business of the team that is directly in front of you. They had that opportunity early in this week and they squandered it.
Sure, but you're not chasing Minnesota. You're chasing Cleveland, and you have seven opportunities against the Guardians starting in about a week and a half. Handle your business there, and yeah, you might need to hope that someone helps out on the Minnesota front, but it's hard to just completely dominate the division. And as I laid out, they've dominated Chicago. They took care of Detroit. They've handled their business against Cleveland. Yes, Minnesota, no doubt, has gotten the better of them, but to me, to look at the third wild card race right now with 41 games to play.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's just so much that can happen. To me, I'm dead focused on that division. You bring up Minnesota. We could talk about that third wild card race with Boston. The bottom line is this: either this rotation is elite, or it isn't. If it's elite, this team's going to the playoffs. If you don't believe that Seth Lugo and the guy that we saw him perform to over the first half of the season, if you don't believe that Brady Singer's the guy that we've seen over the first three quarters of the season, well then, that's the focus to me. Is this rotation? That's going to be the reason why this team wins the division, why this team grabs a wild card spot, or why this team falls just short in what's still going to be a historic turnaround. I hate to put it all on their shoulders, because going back to spring training, there was no way that I thought this rotation would be elite and would be good enough to put the team on their back and carry them to October. I thought that they would be good. I thought they'd be top half of Major League Baseball, but now I never expected top five in the sport. And you know, here we are, 41 to play, and they're still top five in the sport if you're looking at ERA and innings pitched. They're answering the bell pretty regularly, but of late, Seth Lugo, not so much. Brady Singer, not so much. Yes, Michael Wacha's held it down for about 3 months now. Cole Reagans, who you spoke with earlier, is the ace of this staff and one of the two, three best lefties in the sport, probably one of the five best pitchers in the sport. So those are the guys that are going to get you there. Those are the guys that are going to beat Cleveland. That's really the focus. It's not do you believe the Royals are going to make the playoffs. It's do you believe this rotation is elite and will be elite down the stretch. If the answer is yes, then there's nothing to worry about. They'll be there in October.
Rob, the first thing he told me when he got back from vacation was he thought that Seth Lugo was starting to hit a ceiling just because of usage and innings pitched. He has not been sharp his last four or five appearances out there. Is that what you're noticing with Seth Lugo?
Certainly his most recent outing. You know, even the, you know, the Boston outing in Boston, not sharp there either. But really the question is this a blip on the radar? Because I feel silly giving that built-in excuse of, oh, you know, reaching your innings limit and you're wearing down the stretch. Everyone is. Everyone's tired. Everyone's grinding to 162. So I'm not going to give that to Seth Lugo. I'm not giving that to Brady Singer. They don't want it, right? Cole Reagans doesn't want that. What Seth Lugo wants is the ball. He wants to be the guy on the hill. He wants to lead. So yeah, obviously, the last time we saw him, no good. As bad as he's been with the Kansas City Royals. That was the first time I've been concerned post-game with Seth Lugo, but we'll see what he does coming up over the next few weeks. I don't know how much I'm going to, you know, read into, you know, the opposition of the Cincinnati Reds offense, the opposition of the Angels offense, who is, you know, the team that Lugo will see next. But coming up with that 20-game stretch, that riptide, as I call it, we'll see pretty early on if Seth Lugo is fading down the stretch or just had a rough few weeks.
Vern, can the Royals make the postseason with the fading Seth Lugo?
No, no. No, they can't make the postseason without All-Star Seth Lugo, All-Star Cole Reagans, and MVP Bobby Witt Jr. All three of those guys need to do what they've done all season, and that is be great.
Right now, we're joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, going through some of the top stories with the Kansas City Royals. I do have a question really quickly to go back a little bit, and then I want to go forward. With the Royals, they are 3-7 against Minnesota. They have three games left to finish out their 13 games against Minnesota. Why do you think, even though these two teams seem very, very similar to each other, a lot of the numbers, why do you think that Minnesota has had the clear advantage over the Royals?
It's strange, man. The defense in Minnesota in those seven games, as bad as they've been all year. You know, that series that just ended, that was, I think, the worst defensive sets, and you could throw in the homestand with Boston and St. Louis, the worst stretch of defense we've seen from these guys all year, the worst stretch since that four-game set in Minneapolis where they dropped 3 of 4. So, you know, can I attribute that to the Twins? I really can't. Yeah, the Royals defense, and sure, I'll tip my cap to, you know, Joe Ryan and Pablo Lopez. They're outstanding starting pitchers, and they outdueled Cole Reagans. Pablo Lopez outdueled Cole Reagans back on opening day. Joe Ryan got the best of the Royals before. Pablo got him again on this most recent series, and their bullpen is much better than the Royals bullpen. Their bullpen won them a game last night, again, against the Texas Rangers. No, the Twins are a good team. And unfortunately, in those games, one of the pillars of the Royals team, their defense, right there with the rotation, their defense let them down. And you could say in this most recent series against the Twins, both pillars let them down, the rotation and the defense. And the, you know, this team's going nowhere without elite pitching and elite defense.
So there was a story earlier today on MLB Network that I want to get your thoughts on. It was on who the five faces of Major League Baseball was on. So this was the list. Paul Skenes was number five. Bobby Witt Jr. was number four. Bryce Harper was number three. Shohei Ohtani two. And Aaron Judge was one. How do you feel about this list? And how cool is it to see Bobby Witt Jr. in this category with these obviously great names?
Yeah, really cool. The top three to me, no doubt about it. I think if Shohei's pitching, he's number one, but no argument there. For as much as we want Mike Trout to be on that list, he doesn't want to be on that list, and his body of late is not allowing him to be on that list. Yeah, Bobby's next. You know, I think that spot that Bobby holds could be filled by quite a few names. I just know that Mark DeRosa, the guy that came up with that list, is as big of a Bobby Witt Jr. fan as there is on a national level right now. So, you know, number four to me could be Bobby. Should easily. I can make the case that it's Bobby. But a guy like, there are quite a few. Ellie De La Cruz, who we're going to watch this weekend. A guy like Gunnar Henderson in Baltimore. You know, if Julio Rodriguez could get his groove back at some point, maybe next season, he could fit in that number four spot. And then, yeah, Paul Skenes, what he's done coming out of, you know, 14 months ago, this dude's in the college World Series. Now he's, you know, dating a superstar, apparently. And, yeah. Paul Skenes is very well known for that next generation. And in a sport where you don't have many people that that next generation knows, Paul Skenes is one of them. So, yeah, you better pump that dude.
I really just want to see baseball take full advantage of the generation that they currently have. When you got Bobby Witt Jr., you got Skenes, you got Gunnar Henderson, you mentioned Ellie De La Cruz. I mean, there's probably 10 to 12 amazing baseball players right now that are under the age of 27. I think that baseball missed this past generation where they had Mike Trout, and some of that is just his own personality. You got a lot of different players from different backgrounds, different cultures, different upbringings. Man, baseball really has to take advantage of where they currently sit with how many great young superstars they have.
Yeah, but I'm sure you were saying that 5 years ago and 10 years ago.
That's
and
fair.
15 years ago, but I feel as if that's just where baseball is right now. I feel as if those fans that normally would latch on outside of Kansas City, that would, you know, normally latch on to a Bobby Witt Jr., they're now latching on to a Patrick Mahomes. To me, it, you know, baseball is the ultimate you know, provincial sport in that everyone in Kansas City loves the Royals. But I'd say a majority of Royals fans probably can't name two Washington Nationals or two Angels or, you know, three Orioles or, yeah, I just don't feel like when you flip on a game, you're watching baseball for your Royals taking on another team. You're not flipping on for Salvi or for Bobby. You're flipping on, yes, you love them, but you're flipping on, you know, your team. When it comes to the NFL, yeah, I'll watch Josh Allen and Joe Burrow go at it. I'll watch, you know, two rookie quarterbacks square off early on in the NFL season. I'm not watching two rookie pitchers, two rookie sluggers. I'm not watching two teams that I have, you know, no real feel for, no affiliation to. And that's where baseball is. It's you love your team, and some people, yourself included, are still dialed into what's going on outside of your city, but you're in the minority when it comes to that.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, for a couple more minutes here. I got two rapid-fire, I guess, general baseball questions, and then I do want to get back to the Royals bullpen. The first question is about the Olympics. This is a no-brainer to me for Major League Baseball in terms of growing the sport. Baseball is probably a more international game than the NBA is. I just saw the NBA get 23 million people to watch the gold medal game between France. Now, maybe the United States wouldn't be in the gold medal game with how many great countries there are playing baseball, but this seems like a no-brainer once every 4 years to move the schedule around to play on a platform that baseball simply just doesn't have at this time.
Yeah, I'm with you. to me, the impediment is 162 freaking games. You and I have been talking about this for a very long time. The season is way too long. Just show up to your neighborhood big league ballpark on a Tuesday night. I don't, there's maybe 2-3 cities where that place is packed. There's going to be, take your pick. What section do you want? How many tickets do you want? It's wide open. Yeah, cut the season down to, 81 games. Cut the season down to 100 games, and I think that would be a lot more plausible. But right now, if they're trying to cram in 81 home games for every team, and then you want to slide in the Olympics in between, I don't think that's feasible.
Have you seen this story about the potential change that baseball wants to implement where they want to have starting pitchers pitch at least 6 innings? I like this idea. I just think that baseball just needs to move back into a more an offensive era. You look at 20 years ago, batting average is down 20 points, strikeouts are way up, walks are down. It is just a far less offensive game. Some of that is starting pitching, some of that's velocity. There's a lot of different things for it. What did you think of that story? What do you think baseball needs to do to maybe put some offense back into the game?
Yeah, I've become a fan of moving the mound back because it is velocity. Now this is a unique idea because, tonight, Michael Lorenzen, if he's shaky in the fifth, he's coming out, and then the, bottom half of that Cincinnati lineup is going to face, 4 different pitchers in their 4 trips to the dish, and I would imagine that a majority of them are sitting 95-plus with nasty, breaking stuff. It's tough to hit when, so many teams have the type of bullpens, that they do, where it's just, even if the guy doesn't have great command, the stuff is obviously big league worthy. Moving the mound back, I think, is the best option that I've heard so far. If you want to bring the starting pitcher back, again, I know this isn't going to happen either, even though I like shortening the season. I also like shortening the game. I'd drop the game down to 7 innings. That's how you get starting pitchers back to being superstars when they pitch complete games. That doesn't happen anymore. That's a way to bring it back. That's also a way to move the game along even more.
All right, so speaking of pitching, let's get back to the Royals here. I want to ask your question about the bullpen. So on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being not worried at all, 10 being DEFCON code red, how worried are you about their bullpen as we head into this riptide, we head into this stretch where I think you and I have seen enough Royals baseball to know every single night it is going to be a grind over those 20 games. Heading into the 7th inning, you're going to be up 5-3, down 4-3, 4-2. You're going to have to play complete games over that 3-week stretch. How worried are you about the bullpen?
Yeah, 1 to 10. It's obviously my number one worry. If there's something that's going to sink them in the riptide, it's obviously going to be the bullpen. So, man, I hate to do this, but I got to take a step back. And, grand scheme of things, my goal has always been stay in contention into the month of September. Right, since May, I would say that's when my expectations started to change. And it was no longer just give us meaningful games in the second half. It became stay in the race until September. So that's still the expectation. I don't believe that the bullpen's bad enough to drag them out of the wild card race before we get to September. But as we get into September, I think the bullpen could be the culprit as to why you fall short of making the playoffs. So if we're talking, how worried are you when it comes to the Royals' postseason chances when it comes to this bullpen? Yeah, I'd say a 7.5.
This is where I give the Royals a little bit of benefit of the doubt, is certainly the manager. I don't know if the Royals have a lot of options that you trust at this point in the season.
Right.
Like, if we are saying tonight it is a 4-3 game heading into the 6th inning and their starting pitcher is out and you got to hold on for the final of this game, I don't know if they have 3 or 4 pitchers that you feel confident that can get you there to the end. Like, I think back to the last game that I was at. So last week, I was at the Tuesday game against the Red Sox. I was at the Friday game against the Cardinals. It was the same formula in both of those games. They just don't have the bullpen to consistently hold on, I think.
Right, and that's why when you asked earlier about Seth Lugo, Seth Lugo needs to lead Major League Baseball in innings pitched. He needs to end the season with one of the 10 best ERAs in Major League Baseball. It's strange to say, but that's how good he and Singer and Waka and Reagans have been, is that they, sure, with the help of Bobby and Salvi and Vinny, yes, they've put themselves in this spot to where they have an outside chance at the division. They currently hold that third wild card spot. Lugo tonight, Michael Lorenzen, Michael Waka tomorrow. That's why it's so imperative that they are not just good, but very good. You know, for as much as my expectation with these starters on a nightly basis is just give the team a chance to win. When you get down to the final 41 games and the postseason is within sight, man, you start to throw realistic expectations out the window. So now it's not, hey, Waka, Singer, Reagans, Lugo, give me a chance to win. It's, no, I need you to be the reason why we win tonight. You're right. No, outside of Lucas Ursig, there isn't anybody in that bullpen that has earned your confidence. Now, you can feel good about Sam Long and Chris Bubich. You can have high hopes for Bubich. Hunter Harvey, John Schreiber should be back hopefully soon. But no, Lucas Ursig's the only guy that when he comes into the game, man, I'm at peace. I certainly was in that game a couple of days ago when he closes it out for another multi-inning save. That was the first time in a very long time I've felt as if the ninth inning was set. Even though I loved what Scott Barlow meant to this organization, he was always more of a fireman to me. Lucas Ursig's the first let's-slam-the-door kind of closer we've had here since HDH departed when Herrera was ultimately traded in 2017.
Vern, I'll get you out of here with this question really quickly. I asked this last week. I haven't had a chance to ask you. If we're going meet-the-parent-style, circle of trust, what bullpen relievers are you throwing in there? Obviously, Ursig is in that circle of trust right now. You mentioned the peace component of it. Who else are you putting in that circle of trust with Ursig?
Yeah, I don't think anybody belongs in the circle of trust. It's opportunities right now. The next opportunity for entrance, to me, should be Chris Bubich. And after that, yeah, John Schreiber, hope to have him back soon. He can get his way back into that circle of trust. But, yeah, right now it's Lucas Ursig and only Lucas Ursig.
That is our guy, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today, our Royals insider. Vern, this is your first appearance on 96.5 The Fan, man. This is a special day in my life and yours. Happy to have you on today.
Well, I hope I lived up to it, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's my guy, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.